Guitar.
Welcome to In the Studio, a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock albums. I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, it's Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band's Stranger in Town.
And I feel like a number.
I saw the movie The Sting with Robert Redford and Paul Newman, and I remember that scene where Robert Redford goes to the lady who ran the cafe to her door at 4 in the morning, and he's trying to get away from the bad guys, and he says, it's 4 in the morning and I don't know anybody, and she lets him in, and that's where the idea for We've Got Tonight, Forget About Tomorrow came from. The band was playing better and better, and so the band was really stoked to get in the studio. And we got things like Feel Like a Number and Hollywood Nights rather quickly, you know, in about 6 takes.
And those Hollywood nights, and those Hollywood, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Seger in the studio with Stranger in Town.
It was Bob Seger's 33rd birthday when this album, Stranger in Town, with the Silver Bullet Band, was released in May 1978. Now, a live best-of double album, Live Bullet, which was much like Peter Frampton's similarly conceived record setter, was actually selling more almost 3 years after its release because of the breakthrough 1976 career-busting album from Bob Seger called Night Moves. It turned out that Stranger in Town would be the second jewel in a triple crown of studio albums that would cement Bob Seger's permanent place in rock history, the third in a staggering string of 9 consecutive million sellers or more. Stranger in Town proved that the craft that Bob Seger had employed in the songwriting on Night Moves was well-learned, and the popularity well-earned. In the AllMusic Guide, Stephen Thomas Erlewine states, and I quote, "Musically, Stranger in Town is as lively as Night Moves, rocking even harder in some places, and being equally as introspective in the acoustic numbers. In many ways, it does feel like a stronger set of songs. It's still one of the great rock records of its era," end quote. Bob Seger reminisces about recording Stranger in Town in the studio.
But there were some certain tracks that gave us fits. I think of Brave Strangers as one of them, actually. We recorded that particular song, this is pretty funny, for 11 days in a row. And the basic track was just myself, Chris Campbell, and David Teagarden, the drummer. And we recorded 168 takes of it. And we used take 7. So 10 of those days were totally useless. But then try to imagine going back through and listening to them, because you're talking about a 7-minute song here.
Nights are warm, dreams are easy. No one standing overhead. Conversation didn't mean much. We were hungry, but we could not be fed. Radio blasting silly little love songs. We only listen for the beat. Taking our chance. Shadows from the heat.
we jam till the dawn's early light. Swimming in the big lake, taking it easy, taking any comfort we can find. Didn't need the real truth, didn't need the meaning, straight ahead ignoring every sign. Every sign. I remember. I know you did too.
Don Henley, who's certainly one of your few peers as far as an American contemporary songwriter and performer. He told me that artists of every other kind except contemporary music, painters, sculptors, classical composers and musicians, writers, classical opera, they're all respected and even revered into their senior years.
Mm-hmm.
But a mature rock and roller has been seen as an oxymoron up until lately. How did we con ourselves into that concept in the first place, and why is it changing?
You know, that's interesting, because when I first started out in the business when I was like 17 years old in Ann Arbor, Michigan, we used to say in the bands and stuff, well, we got to hurry up and make it, because it was the era of the throwaway pop star, you know? I remember I was 18 years old and I backed up Freddie Cannon, and he probably won't remember it,
no.
but I backed him up at a club about 5 miles from where we're sitting right now.
No kidding.
And, he said, you know, you got to make it fast in this kid, in this business, kid, because, you know, you're done when you're 25. Actually, you know, I said, yeah, well, I better get moving. And we used to, you know, and then I had a bass player who was a little bit older in one of my bands in the mid 60s. And I was, I think at that time, 21 or 22. And he said, we ought to switch to country, because they don't care how old you are. Look at Hank Snow and stuff like that. He's still a viable star and stuff like that.
He was right, though. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. He said, we can go forever if we play country. We can just keep on playing. And I said, yeah. you know, at that time, that was not what I was into. But, when it first came in 1955, when I was like 10 years old, let's say 1953, when I was 8 years old, I started actually hearing some rock and roll, or some things that were starting to sound like rock and roll. It obviously, I think people really underestimated the music, you know, and it has lasted and people still love it. And I'm happy to still be a part of it.
We conned ourselves, though. We bought into it, too, though. You know, don't trust anybody over 30. And I mean, my God, you didn't break until you were in your low 30s. So when
31,
when really break nationally and internationally. Mm-hmm. So can I imagine that you didn't really like to think much about Freddie Cannon's comment between Ramblin' Gamblin' Man and Night Moves?
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah,
that really wasn't something you wanted to dwell on.
No. No. But I had reached a point after Ramblin' Gamblin' Man did rather well.
Did great.
I think I was about 23 then. Then the next 7 years or so were a little dry, and I've always called those years Bob learning to make albums. You know, because that's a whole different thing than making a hit single, and really what I had to develop my writing, because I was on the road constantly where I didn't really have much of a chance to write. I was in, we were doing like 250 nights a year. I would say at some point I just said to myself, I really enjoy doing this. I don't really want to have what musicians call a day gig. You know, I'll just keep doing it and I'll just keep enjoying it. And this is the way it's going to be. And then when we hit big, no one was more surprised than me, but no one was also more pleased. You know, it was kind of nice. I was old enough to appreciate it, I think. We've Got Tonight was originally a song written for Beautiful Loser, which Glenn Frey just loved. It was called This Old House. And it was actually about rock and roll, about how it stood the test of time and everything. But it was to the music of We've Got Tonight, if you can imagine that. I remember I pulled it out to see if it would go on Stranger in Town. I said, no. I gotta write different lyrics. And I saw the movie The Sting with Robert Redford and Paul Newman. And I remember that scene where Robert Redford goes to the lady who ran the cafe to her door at 4 a.m. and he's trying to get away from the bad guys. And he says, it's 4 a.m. and I don't know anybody. And she lets him in. And that's where the idea for We've Got Tonight, Forget About Tomorrow, came from.
I know it's late, I know you're weary, I know your plans don't
don't include me. Still here we are, both of us lonely, longing for shelter from all that we see. Why should we worry? No one will care, girl. Look at the stars, so far away. We've got tonight. Who needs tomorrow? We've got tonight, babe. Why don't you stay? Deep in my soul, I've been so lonely. All of my hopes fading away. I've longed for love like everyone else does. I know I'll keep searching even after today. So there it is, girl. I've said it all now, and here we are, then. What do you say? We've got tonight. Who needs tomorrow? We've got tonight, babe. Why don't you stay?
Well, you see, my mother and my father were always big film lovers, you know, and we'd have the film magazines all around. And getting home late at night from work, lots of times I'd turn on the TV before cable, and the only thing that was on was old movies. So I got addicted, and I still am, you know. And I've probably seen as many movies as any movie executive ever, you know. And my wife will tell you, that I watch, that's exclusively what I watch, unless something like the Ken Burns Baseball comes on or something like that that I really want to see. I'm exclusively movies. That's what I watch. And I try to think that I've got pretty good taste on it. And so it's a great source of inspiration, because obviously these guys writing the movies are always trying to come up with some condensed great truth, and it, and which is basically what you try to do when you write songs. You've got a very small amount of time to try to say something profound, and you're looking for the great lines. Because I sort of write cinematically, and by the same token, that is bad for doing videos. I love movies. I always have. I think that my stories are a little too vivid for videos. I find when I make videos or try to, that they become way too literal. And but consequently, they're picked up by a lot of movie people because they can tell that that's the way I'm thinking. I write sort of cinematically. I write sort of thematically. I love the idea of the distance as a gauge between people. What distances are there between people in relationships that I eventually called the whole album The Distance? You know, I thought that was a really kind of a neat thing. So I think that's why I've been in so many movies and a lot of TV shows and a lot of TV movies.
We've got tonight inspired by the film The Sting and peaking at number 13. The song was also covered by a variety of different singers, eventually winning Seeger the Country Music Association Award for Best Song of the Year. For his album, Stranger in Town, Bob Seeger ended up recording that song with two different backing bands. One featured the Silver Bullet Band, the other highlighted the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, which was the version that ended up on the album, Stranger in Town.
I think we worked on that pretty much solid for about 9 months. And I remember I had some friends in the media who were big supporters of mine. Dave Marsh, who said, you got platinum paranoia. I remember that's what they used to say to me, you know, you're doing so well, you're overthinking it. But I really think Stranger stands up rather nicely as a very loose album, actually. I know it took 9 months, but a lot of that was the songwriting. As far as old-time rock and roll is concerned, that was a track that Muscle Shoals recorded while I wasn't even there. And they just sent it to me. And I just wrote some words to it and sang it. I never really took credit for old-time rock and roll, although I wrote about one-third of it. I'm not even on the writing credits. And basically what I did was the same thing that I did on Shakedown years later. But on Shakedown, I decided to take credit. Was I got a song that had a great title, but I didn't like any of the lyrics. And I rewrote, you know, like I had old time rock and roll, the title, parts of the refrain, that kind of music just soothes the soul. I like that line. Everything else I rewrote.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco. You'll never even get me out on the floor. In 10 minutes I'll be late for the door. I like that old time rock and roll.
Everybody thinks of Tom Cruise dancing around in his tidy whities, lip-syncing that song. Thank God it was only a movie. Music by George Jackson and Thomas Earl Jones. Lyrics by Bob Seger, old-time rock and roll. The fourth and final hit single from the album Stranger in Town. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. Coming up next, one of Seger's biggest hits almost never made the album. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Bob Seger, Stranger in Town.
Hi, this is Bob Seger in the studio with Stranger in Town.
Thanks, Bob. I'm Redbeard. Like many of his contemporaries, such as Bruce Springsteen and Tom Petty, Bob Seger writes many songs that don't end up on the albums they're intended for. Some appear later, others just never get heard from again. You would think that being the leader of the band, Bob Seger would be the only one to make those final decisions. But as he told me, that's not quite the case. Case in point, Bob Seger wrote a song for the Stranger in Town album called Patience.
So some things that are a little more strange sometimes get lost on the way. We've got some stuff that just roars so incredibly. But at the time, we thought, well, lyrically, that's too strong for the radio, believe it or not. You know, that is too powerful for us. You know, that's got too much edge. And to hear those things now would be to really hear the leading edge of what we were doing. You know, we just shaved it off a little bit because we didn't want to throw people off too much. That goes on till this day, as a matter of fact. It's the curse of me writing too many songs, which I love to do, but the fact is they don't really go away, they just get set aside.
You always won every time you placed a bet. You're still damn good, no one's gotten to you yet. Every time they were sure they
everybody in the band was positive of everything that we'd done on Stranger in Town, that Patience was the biggest hit we had. It was extraordinarily melodic. But I wrote this song called Still the Same right after I wrote Patience, and it wasn't, to the band's ears and even to my management's ears, as melodic, but the lyrics were better. Still the Same is, of course, about someone who is probably a little egotistical, a little egocentric, a little aloof, and kind of a living on the edge kind of person that is very charismatic, and we forgive that person because of the charisma. And I thought it was kind of a unique little story that we've all known people like that, you know, people that we shouldn't really put up with their changes, but we do. And I thought that was a little more different lyrically. So we ended up using Still the Same, and everybody said, oh, geez, that'll never be a hit.
Still the Same, the first single released from Stranger in Town, went all the way to number 4 in July 1978. Not bad for a song that wasn't even going to make it on the album. While Stranger in Town included some of Seeger's more memorable, softer songs, the album also featured some solid rock tracks like Frankie Miller's Ain't Got No Money and the fiery Feel Like a Number. I asked Bob Seeger about the inspiration for Feel Like a Number.
In the 70s, there were all these computer banks, and they were putting your name in there, and they were judging your credit, judging, you know, oh, just all sorts of things. I remember in 68, I was pulled over at the bridge in Canada and busted for marijuana that I didn't even know was in my truck. Somebody who I was giving a ride across the bridge to had some marijuana. So at any rate, the charges were dropped against me because it wasn't mine. But I was charged because I owned the truck. But what happened was my name went into a computer, even though the charges were all dropped. And there were never, it was never any police record or anything. It went into a computer at the border and stayed on there for 12 years until 1980. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote Feel Like a Number, because every time I went to play Canada, I had to stop. All our stuff had to be gone through because there was this little black dot on a computer at the border at Canadian Customs.
Take my card and I stand in line.
Town, Bob Seger returns with the story how a fateful drive through the Hollywood Hills and a famous 1970s magazine cover combined to inspire him to write one of his most famous rockers. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're with Bob Seger in the studio for the anniversary of Stranger in Town.
Hi, this is Bob Seger in the studio with Stranger in Town.
Thanks, Bob. I'm Redbeard. During the making of Stranger in Town, Bob Seger spent a fair amount of time in Southern California, certainly one of the entertainment industry epicenters. There are some people in the entertainment business who are a bit insincere, plastic and phony, and it was that subject that became Bob Seger's focus for the song Till It Shines.
I was making albums in California, which is a very schmoozy kind of place. And we're talking about Till It Shines now, like an echo down a canyon, that whole section of the song, Never Coming Back as Clear Lately. I just judge the distance, not the words I hear. That was my way of saying I had reached a certain level of notoriety and the sycophants were starting to move in. And it was difficult to decide when people were stroking me, schmoozing me, or telling me the truth. The thing about success is that it's a very horrible cliche, but it's lonely at the top. You reach a point where you really have to listen to people very carefully to see if they just are talking to you because they want to talk to you or if they actually have something to say. You become a target. You become someone that people want to hang out with. And I think that was just starting to happen to me at that point. You know, and in my much more innocent and naive way, I was picking that up. I know this really good psychiatrist here in town, and I ask him, how can you talk to people without judging them all the time? And he says, I take it everything at complete face value, and I react to it. And I don't try to think, well, this person's got this motivation or that motivation. And I think at that time, I was too young to do that when I was writing Till It Shines. But these days, I don't look for ulterior motives. I do exactly that. If I'm talking to somebody, I'll try to listen precisely to what they say and not read anything into it, just react to it.
Take away my inhibition, take away my solitude, fire me up with your resistance, put me in the mood. Storm the walls around this prison, leave the inmates free, the guards, deal me up another future from some brand new deck of cards. Take the chip off of my shoulder, smooth out all the lines. Take me out among the rustling pines till it shines. Oh, till it shines. Like an echo down a canyon, never coming back as clear. Lately I just judge the distance, not the words I hear. I've been too long on these islands, I've been far too long alone, I've been too long without summer in this winter home. Still if we can make the effort, if we take the time, maybe we can leave this much behind. Till it shines, till it shines. Oh,
watching as he danced, sitting there just testing all the wires till it shines, till it shines.
Shines features the late Eagle Glenn Frey on lead guitar. Over the years, Bob Seger had his songs appear in some 35 movies, which is quite an astounding number. Till It Shines is part of that list, closing out the film Crossing the Bridge, which was written and directed by a friend of Bob's, fellow Detroit native Mike Binder. It's sort of a spiritually coming-of-age film, where the characters have to make certain choices that are pivotal to their future. One of the choices Bob Seger had to make about this album was keeping it titled Stranger in Town, even though the song Stranger in Town got booted off the album.
We always had it called Stranger in Town because we all loved the song in the band. Punch didn't like the song, but the band loved the song. And so we thought, oh, this is a great little, it's a very anthemic kind of song, you know? So we thought this should be the song. But then in the final analysis, when we compared it to everything else on the album, Punch and even myself in the band said, this is just too weird, you know? This is too... this song is too weird. And so we dropped the song, but we kept the title.
The title Stranger in Town was kind of apropos for Bob Seger, since he was spending so much time making the album in Hollywood. He was indeed a stranger in that city. The album cover was shot from the house Seger was renting up in the Hollywood Hills, the place that helped inspire the song Hollywood Nights.
There was a Time magazine cover with Cheryl Teagues on it in a red bathing suit, and the title was This Year's Model. And I came home from driving around the Hollywood Hills, and I saw that Time magazine. I said, this is everybody's California dream girl, you know what I mean? And I thought, I'll write a song about some guy who's just naive and coming out of nowhere, and he sees his California dream girl and he has his affair and he gets chewed up and spit out and that's it, you know? And that's how Hollywood Nights came to be.
City nights. the soul. She had been born with a face that would let her get away. He saw that face and he lost all control. That morning he woke up alone. He spent all night staring down at the lights of LA, wondering if he could ever go home. It was Hollywood nights in those Hollywood hills. It was looking so right. It was giving him chills.
Stranger in Town would go on to sell more than 7 million copies and is one of the many reasons why Bob Seger was voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guest, Bob Seger. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard. For Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2018, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.